that that doesn't light your fire. Somebody said your wood is wet. Amen. Thank the Lord for what He did for us. Amen. I tell you, it challenges me and my, what am I doing for the Lord? Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here again. Amen. I thank the Lord every opportunity I have to be able to come here to share the word. In fact, would you turn, please, to Galatians chapter number 6 this morning. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. It's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it, on the Lord's day? And we thank the Lord for that. Galatians chapter number 6. I want to read verse number 17. Galatians 6:17, and then I'd like to preach a word this morning that I pray would be challenging to all of our hearts. Amen. If we don't get challenged, we probably will never change. Amen. Some churches don't like to challenge Christians because they're afraid, you know, to speak the truth. But if we don't speak the truth, we'll never grow. Amen. The Lord wants to change us. If we're saved, He wants to change us. If we're not, He wants to save us. Amen. If you're not saved, the Lord wants to save you today. In fact, that's what they sang about. He died for you. Amen. For me. To save our souls. Amen. But He also wants to save our lives. The salvation of our souls has to do with salvation, just simply trusting Christ. Amen. But the salvation of our lives has to do with God's Word and God's Spirit. Amen. When you get saved, God gives you His Holy Spirit. And He left us this book right here. By the way, this is the only thing we can physically hold in our hands that the Lord made sure we would have it. Amen. And He wants to use His Word and His Spirit in our hearts to help us to live the way He wants us to live as Christians through this life. Amen. And many people get saved, but not many people live for the Lord the way that we should. Amen. In fact, I believe it's been predicted in the Scriptures that during the end times, which I think we're about there, amen? I mean, I'm looking for the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker, amen? But the fact of the matter is that he wants you and I to live for Him. It's been predicted that during the end times, men are not going to endure sound doctrine. But they're going to heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. It's amazing how that's what Paul said in the book of Timothy a long, long time ago. And boy, I tell you, I think we're there. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear straight out and straight up what the Bible really says. I'm going to tell you that. You get a good church that preaches good sound doctrine, you're probably not going to be having 3 and 4 services because you don't have enough room. Somebody help me on that one. You know, most churches that are really huge and have more services than they can handle in a day usually don't have preaching involved. The key word among those many is teaching. Men are not going to endure sound doctrine, but they're going to heap to themselves teachers. Many people don't want to hear preaching. You know what preaching is? Preaching is, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said, and this is what we need to do. Amen? And a lot of people don't want to hear that. I'll tell you why. Because naturally, we all have a rebellious nature, naturally. Amen. Our human nature is, I don't want you telling me what to do. In fact, here's the problem. The problem is we get it mixed up. The preacher's not telling us what to do. He's telling us what God said to do. We don't take it that way, though. We would not want to say, I don't want to hear God. I'm just going to go do my own thing. We say, it's that preacher. Many people like to hear, they like to go, just be a teacher, brother. What does that mean? Just lay it out for me. Let me pick and choose what I'll take. Listen, when it comes to picking and choosing what I take, I'm usually biased. Anybody remember King David and how he sinned against the Lord? He sinned with Bathsheba, then he had Uriah, her husband, killed. You remember the sins of David, correct? Anybody remember that? Did you remember God sent a prophet to him named Nathan? Do you remember what Nathan did? Nathan went and he told him a story. He was a teacher. And he taught him a story. He said, man, there was a man who came along and, you know, he took this one man's one only ewe lamb, and this man had his own lambs, and he went on the story. And as David was listening to the teacher teach this story, he started to get mad at the man in the story. You know what the problem was? He didn't realize the man in the story was himself. Nathan was teaching him and telling him this parable or this story, and he never really came to the conclusion the way that he should have. Do you know what Nathan had to do? He had to say, well, hold on a minute, David, I realize, and by the way, he didn't say this, this is my interpretation of what went on. I understand, I'm telling you a story, I'm kind of beating around the bush, I'm painting a picture of you and what your situation is, but you're pretty much oblivious to it. So here I got to get down to it. You're the man. And as soon as the prophet of God, the man of God, said to David, you're the man, then David said, I have sinned against God. And all of a sudden, boom, the repentance begins. When it was just simply left up to David to try to put it all together, maybe figure it out, nothing was happening. Let me tell you something. Once in a while, we need somebody to say, this is what God said. Amen. Because we're sometimes too carnal and too fleshly to put it together for ourselves. Amen. I want you to look with me, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 6. I want you to look with me in verse number 17. By the way, the book of Galatians is the essence of the Declaration of Independence for the Christian. Galatians, the book of Galatians was written to tell the believers in Galatia that, hey, you do not have to be circumcised and you do not have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Trusting Christ alone is good enough to be saved. See, Paul the Apostle established many churches preaching to the Gentiles, salvation is by grace, it's for free, you don't have to do nothing but trust Jesus Christ. But Judaizers, a Jewish sect of Christianity, believed that no, Jesus was not enough, you still got to keep the law of Moses, so on and so on. But Paul wrote this Declaration of Independence and said, no, you're free from the law. You are saved by grace. And he gave him a good word there. But I want you to note at the end of Paul's message what he said. I want you to note verse number 17, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 17. Here's what Paul said at the end of this letter. He said, from henceforth, which basically means from now on, he says, let no man trouble me. Can I tell you what he's saying in our English? Leave me alone. He wrote this letter to finalize it all. He said, no, salvation is by faith and faith alone. Now leave me alone. Yeah, that's about what he said. But watch the next thing. What he does is he makes a remark here about why they should believe him and trust him, because he's being used of God. He's a man of God. And look what he says in verse number 17. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul says this, listen. And in many other letters, he said, these Judaizers, these people that are going to try to come and try to win you over, they are not willing to suffer and serve the Lord. Everything's easy with them. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. God has called me. God has chosen me. And let me tell you something. I have been through the ringer to preach the message of free salvation to the Gentiles that I preach. Paul the Apostle was stoned to death. They whipped him, they beat him, he was shipwrecked. He went through it in order to truly serve the Lord. He got his message directly from Jesus Christ. Amen? Now Paul says, listen, it's final, this is what I'm telling you. Now leave me alone. And he said, look at me, by the way. He said, I bear in my body, and I believe he's referring to the physical scars and the marks that he bore for preaching the gospel the way that he preached it. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let me just tell you what the word marks means. It's brands. Brands. Paul the Apostle was branded. He was branded. He bore in his body marks of ownership. Marks of the fact that he was a suffering saint for the sake of Jesus Christ. Can I put it to you this way? Paul was a name brand Christian. He was a name brand Christian. You know what we think of when we think of name brand? We think of this. We think of quality. Is that correct? Paul was a name brand Christian. His Christianity wasn't cheap. I didn't say he did anything to get saved. I'm saying as a saved person, as a Christian, for him to live for God and for him to serve the Lord and for him to do the things God wanted him to do, he had to go through all kinds of trouble and agony and pain and suffering. He truly was a name brand, a quality Christian. He bore the marks of that in his very own body. Amen. A brand is an identifying feature. If anybody has a pair of Nike sneakers on, I just have to look at the squish to know they're Nikes, they're name brand. Amen? Paul the Apostle bore in his body. Let me give you some thoughts. Listen, Paul's marks or brands identified him with the Lord Jesus Christ. Often slaves were branded so that everyone would know who their owner was. Paul was not ashamed to be owned and to be branded as a slave of Jesus Christ. Sometimes idol worshipers would brand themselves with their idols. Paul's idol was Jesus Christ. Amen? Now I want to use this verse to flip over to a thought for you and I. Paul was a name brand Christian, a quality Christian, and he bore the physical marks of his Christianity. At the least, we should bear the spiritual marks of ours. Amen. Now, Paul the Apostle, get it again, in the context at that time, he's saying, look at the physical marks that I bear for the kind of Christianity I live. And I'm not saying that you and I necessarily, in fact, the United States of America, most of us probably won't bear any marks physically in our bodies of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are spiritual brands that you and I that are saved ought to be bearing. In fact, let me put it to you this way. In John chapter number 13 and verse 34 and 35, Jesus said to the disciples that you need to love one another because all men are going to know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. If you and I as Christians love as Christ, what do you think the world's going to see? They're going to see Christ. If somebody came up to you and said something to you or did something to you and you reacted and responded in a spiritual or Christian way, people would note that, hey, there's the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a name brand Christian right there. There's a quality Christian right there. In fact, the Bible encourages us in 2 Timothy 2:19 that if any man name the name of Christ, let him do what? Depart from iniquity. Anybody get that one? If you call yourself a Christian, if you brand yourself a Christian, you better live up to the brand. You know what I'm surprised at, brother? We have church discipline. And a lot of times it's very extreme. Somebody in the church, in the family of God, is living in such a way that they are just, I mean, they're branded as Christians, but man, the way they're living, and you love them, and you want them to repent and get right, and you admonish them, and you do what the Bible says, but eventually you might have to say, look, you can't be here among this group. We actually have to excommunicate you because you're a bad name for the brand. I don't know if you ever heard that before. It's in the Bible. And some people get appalled at that. You know what surprises me? Let one of the basketball players get into some situation and what happens? They start to lose money. The people that put their money or their brand to that person start to pull away from them. Anybody ever notice that? You get Allen Iverson, you get Kobe Bryant, you get other people, all of a sudden they get some situation comes out, all of a sudden people start wanting to take their name away from it. They only want their name with somebody that's going to bring some blessing and benefit to it. When the world does it, we say, well, that's a good thing. But when God's people do, we say, oh boy. Amen? I want you to turn with me for a moment. Listen, if you name the name of Christ, if you say you are a brand name, a quality Christian, then make sure you really are what you are. Don't be a knockoff. And by the way, how many people know what a knockoff is? Don't be a knockoff. If you walk in New York City, they're selling knockoffs all over. Don't be a knockoff. Amen. I want you to look with me. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. I want to talk to you about being a name brand Christian. Amen. We need to be name brand Christians. By the way, the Lord needs name brand Christians. Amen. Somebody's got to show the world that Christ is real and He is alive. Amen. You and I need to be name brand Christians. I want you to look at Acts chapter number 11, please. And I want you to look with me in verse number 25. Verse number 25. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 25. I want you to know what the Bible says. By the way, Paul was on his missionary journey as he spread the word and starting churches and so on. And I want you to note this. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now verse number 26, and when he had found him, so Barnabas finds Saul, who is actually going to become Paul, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Now Antioch was a Gentile area, okay? It was a Gentile area. Jerusalem was where the church started, and then it went and spread, and Antioch became the headquarters, this Gentile area. Watch what it says. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now note the next statement. And the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. Listen, the Christians were called Christians, not by the Christians. Can you figure that one out or no? Do you know who called them Christians? I believe it was the Gentiles that were around them. Hey, these people are Christians. Why? They're little Christ. They resemble Christ. They look like Christ. You know, you can call yourself anything you want to call yourself. I could call myself 150 pounds and 6'1". All right, we got somebody that is. It's good to see that. I could call myself whatever I want. Guess what? That don't make no difference. Isn't that the truth? You know, what other people call you, that makes something. Especially when those people have nothing to do with you. They don't even really know you. They just know that guy. When I got saved, when I got right with the Lord, I worked at a factory. I live in the inner city of Philadelphia. Don't hold that against me, please. But anyway, I got a job in a factory and I was on fire for the Lord, and they would always say when somebody new would come in, stay away from that guy over there. He's a Christian. He's gonna give you a pamphlet, he's gonna talk to you, and all this other, you know what I'm saying to you? It's one thing when people say, now that's a Christian. But it's another thing when people say, and you call yourself a Christian? Isn't there a total difference between that? You know what they're saying, and you call yourself a Christian, you obviously blew it somehow. Amen. Now obviously we blow it, and thank God for the forgiveness of God and for the fact that we can restore our testimony. Amen. In fact, we can use that to explain to them that being saved and what it means and how we do wrong and we get forgiveness and all that. Amen. But I'm just telling you that, listen, when the world looks at you and says, now that's a Christian, you're a name brand. You're a quality Christian. Amen. I'm going to give you a couple parallels. I would like to note a few things about name brand Christianity or quality Christianity. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to parallel some thoughts here. I want you to get this. Number one, I just got a few things I want to give you. Number one, name brand Christianity, like anything name brand, get this, it looks better. It looks better. Now there are some things I buy that are name brand because they just simply look better. So can I get a witness on that one, somebody? Let me tell you something about you and I as Christians. We ought to look better. Better than who? Better than the world. Hey, listen, just by way of application, now this is nothing to do with anything, but you remember when Daniel and his Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken from Jerusalem to captivity to Babylon, which is a picture of the world. You remember when they got there, the world said, hey, we want you to have this diet of eating. And at that time, their law forbade them to eat the way that they were being told to eat. And Daniel, with wisdom, said, listen, just let us eat the way we're supposed to eat. Please don't let us eat that. And we'll prove to you that it'll be better. And so what happened was they allowed them to eat what they were to eat, and all of a sudden they were 10 times better than the world. You and I as Christians, by the way, they're not going to say you look better than them. That's not the principle. If you live as a Christian ought to live, and you're standing next to a worldling who lives the way worldling lives, that worldling's not going to turn around and say you look better, most likely, because they're convicted by how you live. Amen? But the fact of the matter is God in heaven will look down and say, that's better. Amen. Hey, let your light, your life, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, most of us got saved out of bad works. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, but in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, it says that we were stuck in the world, we were stuck in the flesh, we were stuck under the domination of the devil, but God, who is rich in mercy, He reached down and by His grace, He saved us and raised us up. Amen? But you know what verse number 10 says in that same chapter? We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is that saying? He found me in my bad works. He saved me by His grace. He changed me into good works. And now people know the difference. I got saved out of alcoholism, smoking weed, stealing cars, stealing motorcycles. I got saved out of a filthiness. And when I got saved, God changed me and made me totally different. The people that knew me the way I was see me the way I am, and they can't help but note I'm better than I was. You understand what I'm talking about by way of looks. Better than I was. Amen? It's all by the grace of God. In fact, first, don't turn there. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We were all in darkness before we got saved, and now by the grace of God, we're in the light, and let's shine for His praises. Amen? On the job, when you're the one that says, I can't do that, it's not right. You might not realize this, but you shine in somebody's heart and eyes. As a supervisor in a factory I was working, and the main boss came to me and he said, listen, we got somebody coming in from the government. We need to hide all of our scales. You have to pay extra when you have scales in the factory. I said, I can't do that, sir. You know that. And he walked away. He went into the supervisor meeting. He said, you got to love that guy. A couple supervisors were Christians. They came out and told me, what did you do? What happened? I said, I just can't do that. I can't hide things. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't do wrong knowingly. Now, he just said, put them in that back room. I didn't know anything. That'd be a different story. Can I get a witness? In that man's heart, he said inside of his heart, gotta love that man. That's why when they needed somebody to take the big wigs, Mercedes-Benz, to go to the airport to pick somebody up, they said, we need you to do this. You understand that? God does it. God does it. Listen, name brand, like anything name brand, it looks better, but let me give you another one. Number two, by the way, would you turn for a moment, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, please? 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Brother Bob, what time do you guys usually get done? Okay. I'm glad you told me, because I was going to go to about 2:30. No, I'm teasing. I have half the congregation get up now, amen. Hey, my father, he said he loves my father-in-law's preaching, but he preaches long. He preaches long. You ever hear that? My father-in-law, he preaches so. In fact, he preaches so long that some guy in the middle of the service got up and started leaving. So my father-in-law says, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, well, why didn't you get one before you came to church? He said, I didn't need one before I came to church. I mean, that's pretty long, is it not? Amen? It reminds me of that preacher that said to the deacon, hey, deacon, wake up that guy next to you. And the deacon said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. I want you to look with me, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Listen, name brand looks better, amen? But let me give you a second thought. I want you to get this now. Name brand Christianity, like anything name brand. Listen, it smells better. It smells better. Anybody buy cheap cologne? Anybody go to the flea markets and buy cheap cologne? Anybody ever get somebody to give you cheap cologne? Christmas time? You know your aunts and uncles that know nothing about cologne, they just see something, pick it up and give it to you, and instead of saying polo, it says polio. Can I get a witness on that one? Somebody help me on that one. I mean, listen, they try to make the bottle look the same. By the way, anybody familiar with Cowtown? It's a flea market over in Jersey. My brother-in-law works over there. He works next to the guy that sells all the cheap colognes. They're all knockoffs. I mean, you know, you got a great smell about one minute after, it's all gone. Amen. And they come up with knockoffs, and the knockoffs all sound like the real thing, but they can, you know, it's just off a little bit. To the untrained eye, they get them. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Amen. Listen, I want you to note something. Every Christian puts off a smell, spiritually speaking. Spiritually, that's what the Bible says. Spiritually speaking. Watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 14. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, get this, the savor or the smell of His knowledge by us in every place. What Paul's saying is, we as missionaries are going out and we're putting out the smell. He's speaking as a spiritual. We're putting out the spiritual smell out there as we're on our missionary journey. Verse number 15, he said, for we are unto God a sweet savor or smell of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perished. What is he saying? Watch this. He said this, we as ministers, we as Christians put off a smell, and unsaved people smell one thing, and people who want to hear it smell another thing. But watch this. Look at verse number 16. To the one, we are a savor or a smell of death unto death. And to the other, we're a smell of life unto life. And who's sufficient for these things? What is he saying? When you and I are the testimonies and the Christians we ought to be, people are going to pick up a spiritual scent from our life. People who don't want to hear the gospel, who want nothing to do with the Lord, your Christianity puts off a smell. And it smells like death, and they want nothing to do with it. But there are some desperate people who, when you put off a good smell, a good scent, a good Christian smell, they smell life. They're tired of theirs. They need what you have. They want what you have. Amen? You and I are going to make a difference in people's life. When we are name brand Christians, when we are quality Christians, not everybody's going to love us. Some people are going to smell death. Other people are going to smell life. But we're doing our job. Let me tell you something we all got to be careful about. Being smelly Christians. The kind of Christians that are bad testimonies, bad examples, because the smell we put off is really hurtful to some people. The Bible says about Jesus, about his gentleness in ministry, that he would, a bruised reed he would not break, and smoking flax he would not quench. What that means is Jesus Christ came and was gentle, if you will. He was toughest on the religious leaders who were leading people astray, but very gentle toward the nation of Israel. Smoking flax he would not simply quench or just put out. Smoking flax is this. Almost like the hurricane lamps that people have. It's got oil in it, it's got a wick, and it puts off light. But what happens is when oil gets real, real low and the wick gets really, really bad, it puts off a black, offensive smoke that's more of an irritant to people, and I might say even to the Lord. But the Lord, rather than quenching out somebody who's low on oil and needs their wick trimmed, He'd rather fill up and trim up and restore that light. There are many times we're low on oil. You know oil is the picture of the Holy Spirit. Don't run into me when I'm low on oil. Because the only thing you're going to get is me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. And there's been times I needed my oil to be filled and I needed my wick to be trimmed. Why? So I can be a light and I can put off the right scents to people. Amen? Listen, name brand, it looks better, it smells better. Let me give you another thought. I want you to jot this down. I can't turn to all these scriptures, but listen, name brand, like anything quality, feels better. My brother-in-law, growing up, and if you have to, you have to. I come from poverty, and I'm not too far from there now. But my brother-in-law, his family would buy their sneakers at Pathmark. Does anybody know what Pathmark is? It's a food store. You don't normally buy sneakers at a food store. But in our neighborhood, when he was younger, Pathmark had a big bin in the middle of the store where you just grabbed, you know, a pair of sneakers. You didn't look for any different styles. There were no styles. You just looked for the right size. It was all the same stuff. And I'm telling you, and then obviously they didn't have a lot of money, so he said, growing up, his dad would reach in there and he'd get his sneakers from there. And he just talked about how uncomfortable he felt. Now my brother, though we were poor, he worked to get his own sneakers. And he bought a pair of Reebok. Now you know Reebok's what? Name brand. And he had these Reeboks, and when he got new ones, he took these old used Reeboks, and he gave them to my brother-in-law Jay. And my brother-in-law put those used Reeboks on and said his feet were feeling fine. Now, we used to sing Bobos. They make your feet feel fine. I don't know nothing about that. Can I get a witness on that one? You know what my brother-in-law said? He said a used pair of name brand felt better than the generic stuff that he was getting. Now, if you have to buy, you have to buy what you have to buy. But by way of illustration, name brand feels better. It does. I have to buy certain shoes because I got the gel on the back heel, especially with the spurs I have. Amen. But I want you to get this now. When you're a name brand Christian, get this, you're going to feel better. You know why a lot of people don't feel good? They don't do good. When you are a Christian that does not do right, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. You can't live wrong and feel right. Amen. Listen, and by the way, thank God for that. Because many times it's feeling the way we feel when we live the way we live that causes us to say, I don't want to do this no more. I want to get back to living right and feeling right. I hate feeling no peace of God. I hate feeling condemned by what I'm doing. Amen? Happy is he that does not allow himself to do those things that condemn him. Feels better, doesn't it? Let me give you another one. Name brand, like anything quality, it looks better, it smells better, it feels better. Let me give you another thought. How about this one? Name brand tastes better. If you eat these, God bless you. How many people like hot dogs? Okay, we got some good dogs, huh? How many people like chicken dogs? Turkey dogs? Yeah, see, you don't know what I'm talking about. Growing up, we were so poor, my mom would have to buy chicken dogs. They're made with chicken meat, they're made with turkey, and you'd boil them or whatever, and all of a sudden the four ends just blow out. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. You know what a quality dog is? It's a beef dog. Can I get a witness on that one? But by the way, they're a little expensive, aren't they? I love a beef hot dog, yellow mustard, ketchup, raw onions. Amen? Tastes better. Listen, I like Purdue chicken. Anybody like Purdue? I like Purdue chicken. Now listen, you know there's some chicken you can buy cheap, but it's going to take you a month and a half to chew it. Can somebody help me on that one? And by the time you cut away all the fat, you're down to nothing. I'm just saying, to be honest with you, name brand tastes better. Now, some things you can eat, they're not name brand, and they taste all right. But for the most part, name brand tastes better. Can I get a witness or no? When you are a name brand Christian, you're going to taste a better life. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what the word taste is? It's experience. That's what taste is. In the terms in the Bible, tasting something is to experience something. The Bible says Jesus tasted death for every man. He experienced death for every man. There's a goodness of God that people can experience. In fact, David in Psalm 34, when he was calling people to experience that goodness of God, he was given testimony of how God had delivered him and rescued him from some things. And then he began to call people. He said, listen, come on, come and taste, come and experience what God can do. In fact, in the very chapter, he says, what man is he that loveth life and wants to see good days? He said, listen, live a quality life and you'll experience the goodness of God. Amen? It tastes better. Let me give you another thought. I want you to get this now. Ready? Name brand. Christianity, like anything name brand. Here's another thing. I want you to get this. Ready? It lasts longer. It lasts longer. How many people go to the thrift store? Amen. Growing up, that's pretty much all we could do. Most things we get from the thrift store, get this now, are name brand. Anybody ever hear of Oshkosh Bagosh? Yeah, mothers are like, I know what you're talking about. When we first had our children, my wife went there and she bought some garments from Oshkosh B'gosh. The only reason I remember the name is because I remember the price. I'm just telling you, folks. I'm telling you. Name brand. Do you know what my wife did when my son grew out of that? She gave it to her sister for her child. And I think she gave it to somebody else for their child. I say, you know, I'm talking about name brand. It lasts longer. I promise you, you're probably not going to go to the thrift store and buy a shirt from Faded Glory. Now, if any of you understand what Faded Glory is, this is what you get from Walmart. Faded Glory don't usually make it to the thrift store. You know why? It's too cheap. The things that make it to the thrift store usually are quality garments. I come from the inner city. I come from the neighborhood. I come from the hood. I come from the bad area. Most of the stuff that comes to the thrift stores in my areas comes from the suburban places outside of Philadelphia. People who have the money buy these garments and they ship them down to the poor people and they make it there. They make it there. Why? Because they're quality stuff. This is the truth, folks. Let me just give you this about quality Christianity. It lasts longer. Listen, quality makes for better hand-me-downs. If you got a quality Christianity, you got a great chance that your child and your grandchild may get it. Paul said about this, about Timothy, I remember your grandmother. I remember your mother. They had a sincere faith, and now it's in you. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks about his parents having a faith, not fearing the king, hiding their child, and that child had faith, and that faith passed on to a nation. Quality Christianity lasts longer. Amen? It lasts longer. Name brand batteries last longer. How many biter batteries from the Dollar General? Dollar store. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something. You know this to be true. You get them cheap, but they ain't going to last long. Ain't that the truth, folks? Ain't that the truth? Let me close with this point. Ready? Watch and watch you get this now. I'm going to close with this point. Name brand Christianity, quality Christianity, like anything else. It looks better, it smells better, it feels better, it tastes better. It lasts longer. But here's the thing. Name brand batteries last longer. But here's the thing. They cost more. Sometimes they cost more than the gift that you're given with the batteries. Can I get a witness on that one? You find a little car for your little nephew or whoever it is, and you say, oh, look, honey, it's only $5. Turn it over, it takes 8 batteries. And all of a sudden, you're looking at the Eveready, you're looking at the Duracell, you're like, honey, that costs more than the gift itself. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me on that one? Name brand quality Christianity, here it is. It's got all the wonderful characteristics of everything name brand, but here's the key, it costs more. If you want to look better for God's glory, if you want to feel better for yourself, if you want to smell better for the sake of the lost, if you want to last longer, you're going to have to pay the price. That's the whole thing about it. You got to pay the price. It costs more. Jesus put it this way in Luke 14. I'm not going to go through it for the sake of time. If you intend on building a tower, you better sit down first and count the cost. If you intend on going as a king in battle against another, you better make sure you have what it takes. Put both of those illustrations of Jesus in the thing. If you think you're going to build and if you think you're going to battle, that's, by the way, the Christian life right there. You better be ready to pay the price. Amen? You better be ready to pay the price. Count the cost. Pay the price. Paul the Apostle was a good Christian. He was a name brand Christian. He was a quality Christian. But listen, he paid the price to do that and to be that. Amen? And so must we. What kind of a Christianity do you have? Do you have a generic one, just like everybody else? Or do you have a name brand one? And let me just say this. You can be a knockoff Christian. No, you can be a real Christian, but you can be a knockoff name brand and make it through this life. But at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be revealed what kind of Christian you and I truly were. Amen? What kind of a Christian are you is one question. What kind of a Christian do you want to be is the other question. May God help us. May God help us to say, I don't just want to be saved. And that's it. I don't want to be saved so as by fire. Amen? I want to be a quality Christian. Pay the price. Do what has to be done to become a quality Christian. Amen? May God help us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this gathering. Father, as we come to this close of this message this morning, we think of Paul the Apostle, and what a Christian, what a Christian. He truly was a quality Christian. He was a name brand Christian, no doubt about it. But he paid the price. He paid the price. Father, I pray, if there's anybody in this room this morning that's not even saved, may they understand there's nothing that they can do to save themselves at all. And thank God Jesus Christ alone did that. He paid that price for us to be saved. And may today be the day of their salvation. But Lord, I don't doubt that most if not all in this gathering are saved. We are Christians, but the question is, what kind of Christians are we? Are we generic Christians? Or are we name brand Christian, quality Christians, the kind of Christians that please you, the kind of Christians that make a difference in the lives of those that are around us? Many lost people around us need to be saved, need to be helped. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord. Too many generic Christians going through this life, no differences being made. Oh, may we not be one of them, but may we, by your grace, become better Christians for your glory, for our good, and for the good of those around us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking about, as the preacher comes, you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm here, but I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm a child of God. Preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Here's my hand. Pray for me. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, I am saved, no doubt about it, but my heart is challenged. I don't want to just be a run-of-the-mill generic Christian. I want to be a name brand Christian for God's glory, for my good, for the good of others. Preacher, keep me in your prayers, if you would. Here's my hand. I am a Christian, but I want to be a better Christian. Here's my hand. Amen. Hands all over. Thank you.